If you're a facilities manager at a warehouse and your HVAC system goes down, it can turn up the heat, literally. But don't sweat it. Grainger has you covered. Grainger offers over a million industrial-grade products for all your operations, including warehouse HVAC maintenance. And even better, they offer access to experts and fast delivery, so you and your warehouse can both keep your cool. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
SBS is Australia's most trusted multilingual broadcaster. Our listeners are loyal, highly engaged, and have supported countless local businesses. We offer advertising packages for businesses of all sizes. Our experienced sales team will guide you through the process of owning a great campaign. Bring your own ad or have our production team make you something in one of our 68 languages. Start the conversation with your new audience today. Email sales@sbs.com.au.
Hello, Decton. Welcome.
Hi, Saka. Thanks for having us.
Thanks for joining us. Doctor, can we please first have a look at what the situation is? So we know that Indigenous Australians are more likely to suffer eye or sight deterioration. So why is that?
Well, Saka, yeah, that's true. They're six times more likely, in fact, to have visual impairment than non-Indigenous Australians, which is a shocking figure. Mm. I mean, there's some evidence that in recent times the trend is reducing and the multiple is not quite as high as six times, but a study in 2016 showed that it was six times more likely for visual impairment to be experienced by Indigenous Australians than non-Indigenous Australians. And of that, probably 90% is actually treatable and or preventable. And 30% or 32% is the exact figure is actually due to is cataract blindness. Mm. And there are a multitude of reasons, one of which is the comorbidities in the Indigenous population. So diabetes being, as you know, very, very, very common in the Indigenous population and not always treated vigorously or oftentimes that goes undiagnosed, in fact. And then diabetes itself, it leads to premature cataract formation. And that's probably the biggest single reason, but there's the host of other reasons as well. A lot of the other causes, apart from just cataracts, which is my main focus with these patients, but a lot of other causes as well are treatable and preventable. We're talking about the adult population.
This is pretty shocking. The numbers are very high. As you said, it's preventable. So your focus is the cataract surgery. What exactly is cataract?
The eye has got a lens inside of it, and that lens has to stay clear in order for us to see, because light comes through, first of all, the cornea, and it's focused partly by the cornea, and then it travels through the eye and it comes to the lens, and at that point it's focused again and it's focused onto the retina, allowing us to see. And when that lens becomes cloudy so that the light can't get through it, people are varying degrees of blind, all the way to only being able to see light and dark. And in extreme cases, if the lens becomes very, very, very dense, then they can't even tell that. So it's a debilitating condition. But the thing about it is we have the technology and the techniques to take out that lens, which is cloudy, and we can replace it with a clear lens that will focus the light onto the retina and let people see again. And that lens is made of usually acrylic, sometimes silicon. It's a very treatable, probably the most treatable blinding condition that we have. And no one should be blind from cataracts in Australia. No one.
Mm. How difficult this surgery is?
So the surgery ranges in difficulty. So in a case where the person's got mild or moderate cataracts, the surgery is very straightforward, with a complication rate less than 1 in 2,000. So it's very, very safe and relatively straightforward. When the cataracts become increasingly dense or there are other comorbidities such as glaucoma or some of the structures in the eye are weaker than expected or there's other damage there, then the cataract surgery becomes much more complex as you try and remove. Some of these cataracts we're taking out are hard like rocks or granite, and they take a lot of energy has to go into the eye to remove it. The operating time is a lot longer, and then the new lens that you put in the eye it has to sit where the old lens used to be. And sometimes, because there are other diseases in the eye, that position in the eye is compromised, and you've got to find creative ways to put the new lens in. Sometimes you've got to sew a lens in, or you have to clip it in, or rest it in a different position as you than you'd planned. Still works out just fine, but it just means the operating time and the complexity is sometimes orders of magnitude higher, or it's a harder operation than if you're just doing a straightforward mild or moderate cataract. So the bigger, the longer the people wait to get their cataracts done, then the more difficult the surgery becomes, with more risk and more operating time and longer recoveries and stuff, which is why it's important to treat people as soon as there's some disability from the cataract. They should really be treated. But a lot of our First Nations people have cataracts which are on the severe or very severe end of the spectrum.
So what are the obstacles? Why aren't people getting the help they need? Is the question of the cost?
That's a factor for sure. I think one thing is an awareness that the disease is prevalent. One thing is that, so an awareness of the fact that if something starts to go wrong, you need to seek help promptly. And the sooner you seek help, then the more quickly it can be fixed. Cost is a barrier, and if cost is a barrier, then of course we have a public system in Australia, but the waiting periods can be extensive because so many people are trying to access the services. So the waiting times can be so long that the disease, which was, say, moderate, becomes severe by the time they come to be treated, and then other problems rear their head as well. With cataracts, people often are known to have a higher incidence of falling, for example, and fracturing bones and hips and things. So while they're waiting, other things, and in many, many cases, by other events have occurred, and then that's put the whole thing back even further while they're getting that fixed up. That we see that quite frequently. But with IUE, so IUIH, they actually have fabulous optometry services as well, which the Indigenous people can access more easily. And they're being screened for these vision problems, and the treatment can be arranged for them in a much more timely fashion. So that's why it's a fantastic partnership with the IUE or IUIH unit doing the optometrical screening and then liaising with us and with the MATA, and we can get them in for surgery when it's needed. So it's fabulous. We'll coordinate it all, and we'll do it all in the same year. IUE coordinate transport to and from the operating room to the MATA hospital. And when they're there, we have lots of support staff walking them through all the stages. We do a list with 30 Indigenous patients on it, and they actually can also be support for themselves. You know, there's a lot of camaraderie in the waiting room, and it's not so scary that way. So the compliance is better. You have a cataract operation, particularly in complex eyes, follow-up's just as important as the operation itself. And traditionally, that's been a bit of a problem, arranging great follow-up and compliance with drop routine and compliance with appointments. With the support of IUE and the MATA and the fellow patients going through it as well, that's been fantastic. Compliance with follow-up has been second to none. It's been really good, big part of it.
That's the great results and great support for people who are suffering with this condition. So, what would be the next steps to improve the situation for First Nations patients with this problem?
I think even further outreach into some regions which aren't serviced by IUIH, and there are some programs, and they can take the form of optometrists or ophthalmologists or both, the team going out further into the communities and actively screening and educating, and just letting everyone know that if you think there might be a problem, it's best to get it looked at, because if you get it early on, it's really easily fixed. 90%, more than 90% of the problems can be fixed. Myself and Dr. Warrior, we're the two doctors that have been doing it, have actually found it a big privilege to be doing this surgery. And hopefully the program will continue. And actually, as well as outreach, I should say, the other thing is that more of it is needed still, because we still have some backlog we're not getting through. So it's a privilege to be involved with it. It's just fantastic for us. It's very, very gratifying to see people's whole lives transformed. And so we want the program to keep going and to get bigger and get more patients in, perhaps in maybe even in an earlier stage where their disease isn't quite so advanced. That could be the future as well.
And that was Dr. John Farah talking to us about cataract surgeries, what they are, how they help, how much they cost, and also about a project that helped more than 1,000 First Nations Australians to undergo the surgery and change their lives by restoring their sight. Thank you so much for talking to us, Doctor.
It's a pleasure, Saka. Thanks for talking to me.
Need a few minutes to reset? Great Minds is a podcast from SBS that guides you through different meditation styles from around the world. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.